I'm just going to talk a little bit today about some preliminary work that we've been doing, looking at pre-diabetic adults with and without disabilities and obesity and physical inactivity in those adults. So I have no relationships to disclose. So I'm going to start out first by acknowledging my collaborators on this who work in the Division of Human Development and Disability along with me, Beth Courtney Long and Brian Armour. So just for a little bit of background on prediabetes, basically it's blood sugar levels that are higher than normal but not high enough to be diabetes. So that includes things like impaired fasting glucose and impaired glucose tolerance. Associated with prediabetes is an increased risk of progressing to type 2 diabetes, but also increased risk of heart disease and stroke. So a couple of recent papers from 2010, both of them actually using NHANES data from 2005 to 2006, reported that approximately 30 to 35% of U.S. adults have prediabetes. Because it's using NHANES, these are a little bit higher than we're going to see because these adults may or may not have actually known that they had it. It was actually done through testing their blood sugar. So these same studies reported that only about 3 to 7% of adults actually reported having been told that they had prediabetes. So only 3 to 7% really knew that they had prediabetes. So why is this important? Basically, another paper from 2010 that predicted the prevalence of diabetes basically shows that by the year 2050, it's expected that diabetes prevalence will increase to between 21 and 33%. But by doing intervention on adults with impaired fasting glucose, it could potentially prevent between around 300,000 to 360,000 cases of diabetes by that same year. So in terms of intervention, it's pretty well known that weight loss and physical activity are the two things that really can prevent or delay progressing to type 2 diabetes among pre-diabetic adults. So those same two studies that were published in 2010 looking at the prevalence of pre-diabetes showed that really only about a little under half of adults reported either exercising or increasing their physical activity, and between around 50 to 60% reported either controlling weight or diet or reducing their fat and calorie intake, and around 45% reported doing both of those things. So I'm going to switch gears a little bit and talk a little bit about the background for disability. We know that about 1 in 5 adults in the U.S. report a disability, and disability-associated health care expenditures from 2006 is around $400 billion. We also know that people with a disability are more likely to be physically inactive and more likely to be obese. And from what we've looked around a little bit, and we didn't really find a lot of literature about people with disabilities and prediabetes, but it seems fairly unlikely, at least our feeling on it, is that prediabetes is not likely to be the primary disabling condition. So people with a disability may have it, but it's probably not actually causing the disability. So we were interested in looking at prediabetes because a lot of what we do is look at trying to prevent secondary conditions in people with disabilities, and diabetes is one of those conditions. So we felt that this was a good place for us to start and look at how we could prevent the secondary condition of diabetes in people with a disability. So our objectives here really were to look at the prevalence of obesity and physical inactivity among people with and without a disability who have prediabetes, and also to try and estimate the association. So in terms of methods, we went to the 2009 Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System, and this is a state-based survey, a random digit dialed telephone survey that asks a lot of questions on health behaviors and things like that. They, in 2009, did a pre-diabetes optional module, so not all of the states did it, but it was pretty good coverage. There were 44 states and territories that participated, which is around 300,000 respondents. Typically, the total is around 400,000, but it's still pretty good coverage here. We used SAS and Sudan to account for the complex survey design of the survey, and we computed descriptive statistics, and these are weighted for non-coverage and non-response, and we also age-adjusted them to the 2000 U.S. population. And then as a last step, we did some logistic regression, and I'll go into that a little bit later. So the questions that we were looking at, the disability questions we define as a yes response to one or both of the questions that I've listed up here, and I'm not going to read them completely, but they're basically, are you limited in any way, and do you use special equipment? The prediabetes question that we're looking at is, have you ever been told by a doctor or other health professional that you have prediabetes or borderline diabetes? So the numbers that we're going to expect here are closer to that 3 to 7% that I mentioned in the introduction, because these are really going to be people who have been told. We're not measuring any blood glucose levels here. So just jumping into the results, just to get an idea of the prevalence of disability, in the 44 states and territories that participated in the module that we're using, prevalence of disability was 20.1%, and when we look at all of the states and territories that participate in the CORA survey, it's 20.2, so really it's really comparable here. So this graph shows over on the left the prevalence of prediabetes and the prevalence of obesity and the prevalence of physical inactivity for people with and without a disability. So the blue bars are people with a disability and the green bars are people without. So if we look at prediabetes among people with a disability, it's a little over 8.5%, which is almost twice as high as people without a disability, which is a little under 5%. And then looking at obesity for people with a disability, it's around 38%, and people without, it's around 23%, and that's actually about 60% higher in people with a disability compared to people without. And physical inactivity is around 22% for people with a disability compared to 10% for people without, so we're over twice as high in terms of physical activity. So looking a little bit more into the prevalence of obesity in these groups, this graph shows over from left to right people with a disability and prediabetes, people with a disability and without prediabetes, people with no disability and prediabetes, and people without a disability or prediabetes. So you can kind of see the pattern here, and the prevalence of obesity is highest among people with a disability and prediabetes, then drops down to around 37% for people with a disability and without prediabetes, and then goes back up for no disability and prediabetes. So it kind of looks here like the prediabetes and the obesity are a little bit more associated here than the disability, and that's likely, we would kind of expect that, because prediabetes and obesity we would expect to be associated with each other. So moving on to physical inactivity, I think it's interesting here because the pattern we see here is quite a bit different than the previous slide for obesity. So the bars across the bottom are in the same order, but here we see that the prevalence of physical inactivity for people with a disability is about the same, around 22%, and that's regardless of whether they have prediabetes or not. And then when we look at people without a disability, it's a little bit different, but only a couple percentage points. And once again, it's pretty much twice as high for people with a disability compared to those without. And prediabetes doesn't seem to be factoring in so much here. So we looked a little bit at some logistic regressions, and we were looking at trying to see if there's an association between, in this one in particular, disability and physical inactivity. And we restricted this to adults with prediabetes who were obese, and controlled here for eight demographics, age, sex, race, ethnicity, marital status, education, employment, income, and veteran status. And then we also controlled for hypertension, high cholesterol, and heart disease, because these have been associated with prediabetes and likely also obesity as well. So when we look at the adjusted odds ratio for disability here, it's 1.65. So people here with a disability have 1.65 times the odds of people without for reporting physical inactivity. And the second one we did is similar setup. It's just looking at obesity this time. We controlled for the same things, and we find a similar odds ratio here. So people with a disability have 1.75 times the odds of people without for reporting being obese. So basically, to sum up a little bit, we found that prediabetes is more prevalent among people with a disability compared to people without, and also that obesity and physical inactivity is more prevalent in people with a disability who have prediabetes compared to people without a disability who have prediabetes. And they do seem to be associated with disability. So one of the things that we just because it appears that the physical activity is more associated with the disability, there are barriers to physical activity that are unique for people with a disability, and this could be lack of transportation, inaccessible facilities, inaccessible equipment, and things like that. We do have some limitations. Like I mentioned earlier, it was only 44 states and territories, so we really can't generalize it to the U.S., but we do feel like we have pretty good coverage because 44 states and territories is a large group there. The data is self-reported, so there can be some bias there, and it is also cross-sectional, so there are some causality issues, especially with the obesity and prediabetes that we really can't address in this study. We also know that we may be underestimating disability because the surveys really only of non-institutionalized adults, so we're not picking up people who may be in group homes, things like that. And we know from the previous studies that there are quite a bit more adults in the U.S. that have prediabetes than those that know about it, so we're likely underestimating prediabetes here as well. So in terms of what we're going to do, we really kind of felt like there were more questions that came out of this than answers, and so we think that we'd really like to go and explore the NHANES data set where we can get more detailed information about disability, a little bit more about people's functions, such as how if they have difficulty walking upstairs, reaching overhead, things like that. We can get a little more detail there. We can also get measurements of blood glucose and be more specific so we can detect maybe those people who don't know that they have prediabetes. And they also have additional questions about prediabetes, so we can look more at whether or not they know, whether or not their providers have told them that they should be participating in these interventions or not. And that's it.